Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Hello and welcome to Zed Games. You might be listening on 3ZZZ or around the nation on the Community Radio Network. Welcome to the show. My name is Razor and today I'm joined by Tom.
How you going?
And it gives me great pleasure to introduce our two very special guests, Nart Mishra and Jeff Van Dyke of Witchbeam Games. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
How's it going?
Thanks for having us.
Now, this is a very special episode of Zed Games, and we've never done this before. You guys will be guest programming the next hour. And in that hour, you're going to take us through the evolution of video game music.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're hoping to kind of shed some light on the interesting things that have come about from the arcade era up through to 16-bit days.
Yeah.
So just before we get started with that, you guys are obviously into video game music. Jeff, you've made a career out of it.
I have, yeah. I got started in 1992, in fact, working for Electronic Arts. Working on some of their earlier games and making use of my musical background. You know, before working on games, I was a musician, you know, in various bands and stuff, trying to do well. And but when the opportunity came to work on games, I jumped at it. It was like the combination of everything that I loved was technology and music, all in the same. The same thing.
I mean, yeah. I personally am not a musician, but I do have a lot of love for game music. And over the years, I've listened to a lot, including some of Jeff's music before I worked with him. So I've just got a lot of passion about this stuff.
Cool. So what? Where should we get started, guys?
Well, we could potentially start at the beginning.
That's the very beginning.
That's usually a pretty good spot.
Look, you know, we were talking about the history of video game music, and we were looking. I was researching it, and one of the first games that, that is the first game, and most people know this is Pong, released by Atari in 1972, and you know, people refer to as video game music as being earlier video game music as being bleeps and bloops, and this is definitely it. Let's hear a bit of Pong. Yeah. That's Pong.
Is that music, though?
Well, possibly. I have heard weirder music than that.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the evolution of game music is at what point do you actually decide that something is music? Because there's a rhythm and there's different tones to a game like Pong and some of the other stuff we're about to hear. Mm. This is well before people were orchestrating video game music, mind you. So it's kind of, it's interesting to see where it started and how they were able to take that technology and really kind of turn it into something else.
Hmm. And actually, I was in researching Pong. I saw a version of it in 1969. Not that I saw it. I saw a YouTube video of it in 1969, which so happens to be the year I was born. And these two guys were showing Pong. It had no sound, and instead of having one paddle, it had three knobs on it. One controlled the vertical direction of your paddle. One controlled the horizontal direction of the paddle, and the third knob controlled the path of the ball after you hit it, so you could make your opponent miss the ball. And it's bizarre, but it's amazing to see how early that game started. And then, you know, moving on was Space Invaders. And so this is actually is interesting. Is this music or is this a sound effect? It's almost like Jaws. It's just, and then it just becomes noise. Yeah. Okay. 1978, you know. So I remember playing that. And I mean, it was amazing when I first played that game. And I don't really remember I guess the music kind of gives you this it's this sense of tension. But it's very, very basic. But I guess that's the way all the technology was and game music was back then.
It's one of the first instances of sort of interactive sound in games as well, as it speeds up as you destroy the enemies and kind of feeds back into the gameplay loop, which is, you know, in one of the most basic versions of it, but you can see that same principle is carried forward for quite a long time.
1980, Pac-Man. Now, yeah, let's hear this. We all know how this goes. And if you did well, that was cutscene music at the end.
That intro is iconic by now.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I know. I mean, ingrained in some of us, you know. And you almost can't not hear the sound effects right after it in your head, too. You know what I mean? Like, the sound effects kind of get burned in.
That waka 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 waka.
and then what I found was... right in the same year, Rally X came out, 1980. Let's have a listen to this. This is, they say, one of the first games with background music.
Actually really catchy.
I know. I mean, and it just goes on and on. In fact, I saw a YouTube of that theme that plays for an hour. So
an hour.
I'd like, can you imagine the state you'd be in listening to that for an hour?
There's something kind of fascinating about that. The word that you used as well, catchy, because back in these days, your technology was so limited that composers really did have to focus on making their music catchy. And they couldn't have a lot of music, as you heard in some of these examples here. So coming up with something that would later be called iconic and catchy is almost a byproduct of the technology limitations that existed at the time. I think, Jeff, you referred to it earlier when we were talking, as modern music is a lot more textural, where it's about the scene, the composition, and back then it was very much about creating this really catchy moment.
I think in some ways maybe the limitations forced you to, because you didn't have this ability to have this high-quality sample orchestral, you know, thing that you can now. And so the only thing you could do was melody, you know what I mean? And modulate that a bit. And so it really, the focus was more on the music itself, you know? I noticed that as soon as the technology got better, we were able to start, you know, putting full recordings and stuff, and then it became more about production tricks and production values and that kind of technology as opposed to musicality. Yeah. It's interesting how it shifted a little bit. It's not to say, though, there's been some absolutely beautiful melodies written today in modern stuff. It does still exist. It's just that it's a bit more scarce. And the last thing of this history segment here is one of my favorite games that I think it was my favorite because I was actually pretty good at it, was Galaga, and it's got the shortest little theme at the beginning of it, so... There it is. Nice. But I really liked that theme. I always liked the melody of that.
These tracks are so memorable. You know, you will be able to recite that 10 years from now. You know, it's very interesting how that worked out. The next track we're going to play is actually moving on from the history. These are more full-fledged tracks that take quite a while is actually a track from a game called The Last Ninja on the Commodore 64. And this was a personal favorite of mine because when I first heard this track and played this game, this is one of the first times that I felt that this was real music. And there's a distinction between playing the older arcade games and moving on to this era of full-on melodies and changes and shifts. And I thought The Last Ninja was just phenomenally good. I could listen to it at the time and just enjoy it for its musicality and not for the fact that it was from a game or anything related to that. So hopefully people can still enjoy it today despite its limitations. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Zed Games on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. I'm Nart Mishra, and with me is Jeff Van Dyke as the guest hosts of this week's show. We're talking about classic game music and the evolution. That was the track The Wasteland from The Last Ninja on the Commodore 64 by composers Ben Daglish and Anthony Lees. Next up, Jeff is going to talk about one of his personal favorite games. Mm,
yes.
As we move into the 8-bit era.
Yes. Yeah, I remember the NES. You know, I'm sure we all remember the first time we saw a NES. Super Mario Brothers. And, I mean, I could play that. It's been done to death. And for me, when I saw Contra on the NES, I remember thinking that the sound of it was just super bombastic and just intense, and I loved it. So let's give a quick listen to the jungle theme from the NES. Yeah, and what's really interesting about that is the way that the music was put into these machines was really tedious. Imagine the musician would write the music, you know, say on a keyboard or something, and then they'd write it as traditional musical score. And then they had a process where they would look at the score and they could put each note to a numerical value. For example, middle C would be a 36 and a C sharp would be 37. And they'd end up transcribing it to this big list of numbers. And then they'd go into data entry mode and on the computer, type in all this data, just numbers, hit the compile button, and then they would hear what it sounds like. And if they got something wrong, they had to go in there into these lists of numbers and mess around with it, try to get it sounding right. It was just a tedious experience. And these guys did this day in and day out. What I found interesting is the similarity to some technology that my father created. My father, Ralph, created he invented his own digital sequencer back in 1971. Which was then actually licensed by Roland, and Roland made their first sequencer, the MC8, based on my dad's design. And lo and behold, the way that you put music into it is by a series of numbers, with these kind of numbers, and you would type it in data entry style, a la an accountant. and so it dawned on me that in the mid 80s or when they were, you know, this was when the NES was super high tech, they were using technology and a system that existed back when my father did it in the early 70s. And actually, here's a song that my dad did for a TV show called The Inventors. This was in 1979, and this is using the Roland microcomposer that he used to do this, and this was entered in data entry style.